Hello and welcome to the recording for today, Sunday the 23rd. It is the 23rd of May. I hope all the kids in Ignite are okay and having fun. We've got one more week of school and then we're going to have a holiday. How nice is that? I hope you are enjoying school and enjoying very odd weather we're having at the moment, but there we go. Can't do anything about that. To go through our little country in the quiz that we're doing. This one is a little bit hard, I must say, until we get to the last couple of points, and maybe you might be able to know. But if not, you can just take the information to learn more about this country. So I'm thinking of a country, and this country has got 790 islands around it. That's for 5 points. For 4 points, it is the home of the tallest waterfall, which is called Yoes Achural Alumin. And it's 3 times the height of Niagara Falls, which is really, really tall. I didn't even know that. For 3 points, the official animal for this country is the unicorn, which is really bizarre. I've always loved that fact about this country. For 2 points, it has the Atlantic Ocean to the north and west, the North Sea to the northeast, and the Irish Sea to the south of it. So does that help at all, I wonder? And then for 1 point, this country's capital city is Edinburgh. Did you guess that it was Scotland I was talking about? I hope you did. Now, Edinburgh, I find quite interesting that it's not the largest city. The largest city in Scotland is Glasgow, but that's not the capital city. Edinburgh is the capital city. So Scotland is also home to the largest tree, the oldest tree in Europe, which is a twisted yew tree, which is around 3,000 years old. That's really, really old. And Edinburgh was the first city in the world to have its own fire brigade in the whole world. Oh, that's fantastic. What else about Scotland? Yeah, I think that's it. It's known, Edinburgh is known for golf. It's St. Andrew's Links. That's the home of golf. So there we are. Okay, so today the miracle that we're talking about and learning from is when Jesus raised a widow's son from the dead. And this is found in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 18. The Bible says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nam, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared amongst us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Now, really, really lovely miracle, I think, here. I'll just tell you first about this widow, because to be a widow, a woman has to have lost her husband. Her husband has to have died. So then that woman will then be called a widow. And just for information, a male person whose wife dies is called a widower. So this widow would have been living on her own with her son. And the Bible tells us that he was a young man. So I would expect him to be at least 15 or 16 or older. Now, women did not always go out to work to earn money for a living. So it was up to the men in the family to look after the women. Because women in those times, Jesus's times, they did not really get a job or things like what happens nowadays. So for this woman to have lost her husband, who would have been the main breadwinner, would have been really difficult for her to now find a job, and she would have had to rely on the church or charity or friends or relatives to give her whatever they could afford. So to be a widow in this time might mean that she wouldn't have a lot of money. And then so she had this son, and then now the son dies as well. And he's a young man, so he's just coming into becoming an adult, and he would have helped his mom, obviously. But now that he's dead, she has no one. And we don't hear that she has any other children, so we would have to assume that that was her only son and her only child. So she would have no one else around her. And it's not a surprise that Jesus, his heart goes out to her. Because he is very compassionate, and we have heard in a few stories where he has felt that the pain that other people go through. And as Christians, this is what we should feel. We should feel the pain of the world. We should feel the pain of what's going on around us. I always think one of a good sign of a good Christian, really, if you see a fire brigade or an emergency vehicle like an ambulance or a police station or a police car whizzing by, then you should feel that. You should feel that they are going to have to help or rescue or go to the attention of somebody who needs help. So you should pray for that. I try to every time I see an emergency vehicle that's active and going somewhere. I pray for the people, the police or ambulance drivers or whoever, or the fire brigade. I pray for them to do their job properly, and I also pray for their safety. And I pray for the people that they are attending to, because I think we should feel the pain of the world and the people around us. I'm not saying that that should be our main focus in our lives and we should take on all of their burdens, but we should try to help where we can. And also we should try to look around at the people around us and see where there's pain, where there's hurt, and where there's people that need God and need, his love and intervention, so that we are being sensitive to people around us. Because we can see here, Jesus was aware of other people's pain, and he did things to help where he could. So when he goes to this woman and he says, "Don't cry," well, that wouldn't really make a lot of sense to the woman, because this was definitely the time for her to cry, because she had lost her husband and now she had lost her son as well. So sometimes Jesus might ask us or say to us things that don't make sense, or tell us to say to people things that don't make sense, but he was going to do something amazing. So Jesus commands the boy, the young man, and he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And he does, and he sits up, and the Bible tells us that he begins to talk. I think this part is quite important, because when this happens, most of the time in Jewish culture, it would take a little while between the time when somebody dies and the time that they go to be buried. So there would be processes that would go through, like embalming sometimes, and then there would be put lots of oils and incense on their bodies to anoint them for burial, and then they would be buried. So that might take a little while. Even in England, it takes a while between the time that somebody dies before they are buried. So I think that the reason why this boy started talking is to show that it wasn't just like his body reacting, but he had all his marbles. He hadn't lost his mind that he was going to be able to function the way he had done before, because this would have been quite a scary thing for people to suddenly see somebody who they were just about to bury rising up from the dead. So I think it's one of the signs that Jesus really wants to show that this boy is okay, by sort of saying, young man, get up. And then the boy starts to talk, to show that there's nothing wrong with his mind, that his mind is fully restored, and he's going to be just the way he was before. Because sometimes when these things happen, it's hard to believe and it's hard to see. And that's why the Bible makes it really, really clear to us that when Jesus comes, that we would easily see that he was the Messiah, that he was the chosen and promised Savior that God had been talking to his people about, even in the Old Testament. Because when all of these things were happening, even John the Baptist, who had faith and who believed in Jesus and lived his life like that, there's a time when in Luke chapter 7, verse 20, he sends people to Jesus and he says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And at that time, Jesus had healed a lot of people with plagues and diseases and evil spirits. And many of the people that were blind, he had restored their sight. So he answered John's disciples and he said, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have good news to preach to them." And all these things were the things that we were to expect the Messiah to be able to do. In Isaiah chapter 42, the Bible tells us some of the things that the Messiah would be able to do, just so that, you know, because God is not doing this as a secret. He wants his people and his children to know that Jesus is the real deal and that we can trust him. And in Isaiah 42, verse 6, he says that, "I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you, and I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations." That's Jesus is going to send Jesus onto the world. And in verse 7 it says, this is what Jesus was sent to do, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, from the prisons, that for those who have sat in darkness. And that is to show that this was what Jesus was referring to when he was saying that the eyes of the blind have they can see now, and people that are dead are being raised from the dead. People that didn't know things are being given that information. And that was the proof that Jesus was the Messiah that that God was sending to the world. So John and his disciples would not need to look for anyone else. And we need to know our Bible. We need to know our Old Testament and our New Testament. And we need to be able to, when we see or hear things that are different or strange, we need to be able to refer it back to the Bible to see what is God saying. Just like I've done here with Isaiah and the Luke passage, to be able to balance it out. And then we can understand better some of the signs and the things that are happening around us, and not be frightened by COVID, and not be, you know, not be fearful. Of course, you have to do the things that are sensible. You have to wear your mask, you have to wash your hands, we still have to do all those things. It's not that COVID has gone away, it's only that we are better able to deal with it. And so we are opening more and more of and removing more and more of the restrictions. But even as we're doing that, we still need to be careful. So I hope that you've enjoyed looking at this. And the things that I think we can take away from it mostly is that sometimes Jesus will say things to us that don't seem to make sense. Like he said, don't cry to this woman at a time when she should have been crying her eyes out. But because he knew what he was going to do, when God is in your life and he wants to do something great, he might ask you for something different and something unusual in your life to say, don't cry at a time when you're, you know, when you would have been wanting to cry. And whatever the situation, like for this widow, Jesus really, his heart goes out to our situation and he really wants to help us out. So we should listen to him and follow his instructions. Right, well, I hope you enjoyed looking at that miracle and that God blesses you and keeps you and that you hear his voice. And when he speaks to you, you attend and you do what he asks you to do. God bless you. Take care. Bye.